how powerful is Cox Internet? So powerful that one day, your daughter will be able to simulate a soccer match against some of the world's best players right from your backyard. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Internet delivered through Cox's hybrid fiber coax network. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions apply.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
What is going on, you travel lovers? I hope you have been well, because I sure have been. This is your host, Daniel Falunigbe from the Inspired by Freedom podcast. I'm excited to bring you episode 8 of this podcast. As you very well know, this is where I talk travel with new and experienced digital nomads and entrepreneurs, with the hopes that it inspires you to begin living fully and doing the things that make you come alive. In this episode, I spoke at length with my guest, Amber Hoffman. A digital nomad has been traveling for almost 7 years. We talked about life growing up in South Africa, living home at a very young age, and even finding love in Vietnam. Can you believe that? Now she's managed to stay on the road for such a long time. She also has a few words of advice for anyone who's considering traveling for a long time, or maybe you want to be a full-time digital nomad. She has some words to help you navigate that space. And even though this conversation happened virtually, we later met up in Sayulita, Mexico, where I am recording this from right now. We had a few drinks and we chatted even more. I enjoyed this episode particularly because at a point I became the quote-unquote guest where I answered some questions that Amber had for me. Maybe you'll find some insights in those as well. Well, let me leave you to enjoy this conversation, and if you find any value in it, consider subscribing to the podcast anywhere you get yours, whether that's Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and so on and so forth. We are everywhere. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Amber Hoffman. I'll see you on the other side. Hello, Amber.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing magical. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Interesting. So where are you right now? Where in the world are you?
So right now I'm in Sayulita in Mexico. So not so far from you.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. I'm in Nuevo Vallarta, which is like 40 minutes outside of Puerto Vallarta. I think it's about an hour from Sayulita. I looked it up on Google Maps the other day.
Yeah, I think it is.
Interesting. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to come over there right now because, it's always crowded, and that's why I had to get away from Puerto Vallarta anyway.
So yeah.
Interesting. Good to connect with you. It's been a long time since we've been, planning to do this. We've had a lot of delays here and there, but I'm so glad we're finally able to do it. And hopefully we have a very nice conversation that people can relate to.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for this.
Awesome. So you're in Sayulita right now. How long have you been here for, and why Sayulita?
So we've been here for 4 months, me and my husband. We picked Sayulita. Originally, we were actually doing a workaway. Do you know what a workaway is?
I don't. Do you mind explaining?
Yeah, sure. So a workaway is an exchange, like a work exchange that you do through a site called Workaway. And the types of exchanges that you can do are very varied. So you, for example, you can work for a guest house, you can house sit someone's house, you can help a family build something, babysitting. Like, there's no limits on the kind of exchange. And so for some work, whether it's 5 days a week or 3 days a week, for whatever, however many hours the people set, you have accommodation and sometimes food in an area. So originally, me and my husband have always wanted to do a workaway. It's been like high up on the travel adventure goals for a very long time. We did it in a place called La Cruz, which is maybe an hour from here. And we did it for a month. And in that month, we got to explore this area, like Nayarit. Mm-hmm. And we kind of fell in love with the space and wanted to see how we could stay for a while. I work online. And my husband used to work online, but he's not a very big fan of work, like screens,
right.
And likes is more of like a physical tactile person. So he found a job here working in a restaurant. So that's what brought us to Sagulita, is a job for him actually. Yeah. And of course the fact that it's like a beautiful beach town, it's very cute and like all the other great things, but that's what like drew us to this particular town is his work.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So, I mean, the workaway that you mentioned, it's something like, I believe there's something like Woof or something like that where you can
exactly
work on, you know, different projects and get like accommodation mm-hmm. and, you know, food in return for that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And is that originally how you, you know, started traveling? I mean, your way of traveling, so to speak?
No, this was actually the first time that we have done, or I have ever done it. And so the same for my husband. I think I've always wanted to do it, but I was always a little bit apprehensive because at the time when I was like a single traveler, I was like, oh, what if something goes wrong? Or like, what if it's weird and you're stuck by yourself? But this was a different dynamic.
Right.
And it was great. So highly recommend it. You should definitely try it.
I'm so intrigued now. So what was it that you do? Were you out sitting or what was the details if you can?
So what we were doing is help run a guest house, but this guest house was not like a typical guest house. It was more of like a laid back communal housing situation for like old American and Canadian retirees in this tiny little Mexican fishing town. So it was like very random, but our days consisted of 3 hours of work a day, which included like walking the owner's dogs when they needed it, watering all the plants because they had like so many plants, and then like just any general upkeep that they needed on the day. So like maintaining the pool or like cleaning up the kitchen, just these kind of very mundane tasks, but they were kind of fun, you know? It was a very quirky group of people. So it was like a really, really cool experience because we met like the craziest old people. And they like old people are so, like they're so hard in their personalities, like who they are because
absolutely.
They've been that, right, for so many years. And they're just so unapologetically themselves that I was like,
right.
I want to be like you guys right now, you know?
They're so confident in who they are. And I can relate to that so much because, you know, my dad, before he passed, it was, you know, really old. He had me when he was almost close to retirement, for example. So I grew up knowing someone who he was in his 70s and late 70s and, you know, close to his 80s. And some of his personality was so very difficult to deal with. I mean, looking back now, it all seems funny, but back in the day, you know, we had a lot of, you know, back and forth with each other because I just couldn't understand what, you know, what was going on in old people's minds, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's really interesting. So before Sayulita, can you just, you know, tell me a little bit about your background, where you're from and, you know, how you came to fall in love with traveling. I'm pretty sure this wasn't, you know, you growing up. I mean, travel, has it always been ingrained in your lifestyle or is it something you developed over time?
So originally I'm from South Africa. And when I was a kid, I think 3 times in my childhood, I got to travel with my family. My grandfather used to work in the UAE back when like the UAE was still like nothing. And so I got to travel, I think when I was like 12 to the UAE and then again to Germany and the UK. And I always remember like thoroughly enjoying it because it's just like new experiences, like everything's different. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it's different when you're an adult. So as I got older, I felt quite trapped in a way in my small town. So I come from Cape Town, which right. is an amazing city and it's super beautiful.
But it's very small. It's a nomad's dream.
it's incredible, you know. But you know, growing up in any place is different than like visiting it, right? So right. I always kind of wanted to get away or break away or explore myself on who I am and felt a little bit confined in my hometown space. And I was always like staying like late up at night when I was like 18, 19, just Googling all the different places you can visit and what you can do and how would I get there and how would I find the money. And then it just kind of happened. So after I graduated from university, I had this 6-month gap before doing my postgrad. And in that 6-month gap, my uncle who lives in the States was like, hey, you've got the 6-month gap. It's your 21st birthday. I haven't seen you in ages. Why don't you come do a summer camp experience in the USA? I'll pay for your flights.
Wow.
And I was like, amazing. The USA was never really on my list, but you're not going to say no to travel, right?
Of course.
Like
anywhere. Absolutely.
Amazing. And so I went there and I did the summer camp, which was an interesting experience, but I got to like be a different person or kind of be in a new space and meet people on a blank slate. If right. that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like no one knows who you are.
Absolutely.
You can be like, whoever you want.
Yeah. Like a fresh start for you.
Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. And after I finished that, I took the money that I earned from the summer camp, traveled for a little bit in the States. And then I booked a flight to Europe and I traveled around Europe for a couple months. And when I came back to Cape Town, I was, you know, you're kind of a little bit of a different person. And I was like, I think I can't be here anymore.
Right.
You know, like this, like I love it and it's so great to see everyone. But now that I've like gone and seen what can be, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to stay here knowing like the endless opportunities that are outside of this space. And so I stayed in Cape Town for 2 months and then I went back to Europe. I worked as a bartender in Copenhagen. Then I went back to the summer camp. And after that, I moved to Vietnam. Then I just wow. like, I just started, it just went everywhere. And I moved to Vietnam and that's where I stayed as a home base for 4 years. And in that time, I traveled to a lot of different places in Asia and now I'm here. So that was 6 years ago.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So all of this began 6 years ago and you've been to all those places and seen all of those things. And when you said that you came back and you could not fit in anymore, it felt like you couldn't stay. I feel like we all, you know, feel that way, especially if you've traveled for a little bit. You go back to your hometown or where you call home and everything just feels different. Were you... Because this is something I'm always curious about, because I definitely felt this way when I started traveling. Did you feel, was there any type of guilt in your mind when you, you know, returned back home and, you know, felt like, did you feel any type of guilt or just betrayal towards your homeland?
Definitely, because, you know, there's this like, I don't know if it's a stereotype or like a thing. Someone comes back from traveling and like suddenly like, oh, they're so cool. They're a different person. Like they got to have all these experiences and now they think they're better than everyone. Right. And that played in my mind. I was like, am I becoming that person? Is that me? Like, I don't want to be that, you know, you know?
Right. Right.
And I definitely felt that I felt guilty for leaving people behind, leaving my family behind. It was very difficult for my parents, and it actually resulted in us not speaking for like a couple of years because my wow. mom actually just couldn't, yeah, she couldn't deal with it. And it got, I mean, side note, our relationship was never like the easiest. So it wasn't like coming right. out of nowhere, but it did, like my choice to leave did have a whole bunch of uncomfortable spin-offs that I had to navigate through mm-hmm. at the same time. Right. And guilt for leaving and guilt and shame for like choosing a more alternative life path
right.
was definitely something that I had to deal with and navigate for a really long time. And it took a couple of years to like let go of the guilt and shame and like insecurities that mm-hmm. come with choosing to like be more of a nomadic person and not engage with like the classic business world way of living, right. you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I totally 100% understand how that feels. And I mean, I'm just asking this because sometimes I feel like I ask myself those kind of questions, and I'm just always curious to know if, you know, someone else feels the same way. And this, you know, relationship with your parents that became sour, I just want to dive into that a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, like, after coming back and, you know, traveling and doing all those things, you know, you said you never got on talking terms. Maybe your relationship got a little bit sour. Was that because of your decision to not follow a conventional life path? Or what would you say, what would you attribute that to specifically as it relates to your travel?
I think it's twofold. So for me personally, it was one, I think my parents felt abandoned, like I was abandoning them, you know, which is on them. And I think the other part was like, oh, you're not choosing to continue with a conventional life path, and this is a mistake. So right. that was the big thing. It's like you're throwing your university away. Like, you have so much potential. This is like a waste. This, you know, this is not a stepping stone. This is you being lazy. This is you being selfish. This is you like not wanting to grow up and things like that. And right. it was really difficult to hear that from your parents because you're like, I think about these things when I'm doubting myself, and now you're saying them out loud to me, you know? But right. my intuition is telling me something different, so I'm going to stick with it. And I did, and now I feel completely different. But yeah, going back to the struggles that I had with my parents in the beginning, it was largely because they felt like I was throwing my life away.
Oh, wow. That's
what about... For you, like, did you have to ever deal with any pushback
well,
from your family?
I mean, yeah, I love how this is turning into a two-way conversation now. Like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I dealt with those kind of pushbacks directly because growing up, I was very close with my dad. And, you know, we grew up in a very, you know, conventional a family. Of course, I grew up in a polygamous family with, you know, multiple wives and children from multiple
oh, wow.
you know, children. So I grew up in a very big family. And as someone who was like close to the last child, I have one sister after me and I have 11 other siblings. I was very close with my dad. Yeah, I was very close yeah. with my dad. And, you know, it was always very it was the greatest dad ever to me and to all of my siblings. And I felt that bond, you know, very early on because I would travel with him even before I became aware of my existence, you know. They told me I would drive yeah. with my dad and go on like multiple days trips and just like even as a toddler, you know. So I grew up having that bond with my dad, and it was very difficult for me to, you know, to leave that because it had me very very late in, you know, in his life, like I said. And by the time I was becoming an adult growing up, you know, reaching my teenage years, my dad was in his early 70s and, you know, getting old. And I just felt like every moment, every day I spent away from home, I was missing those, you know, those precious moments I would have been spending with him, because, you know, nobody lives forever, right? And I understood that quite early on. So I would say the pushback that I had was self-imposed. I found it very difficult to leave home or to, you know, go study somewhere far away. I would always want to stay close to home, stay close to my dad, and, you know, just be with him as much as I could. But all of that changed, of course, when he passed away. And, you know, even though it was a very painful loss, right, I felt a kind of, I'm not sure how to say this without saying it wrong. You know, I felt like I became a little bit freer, right? I became free. You know, I could now go on with my life. I didn't have this, you know, burden of always wanting to be around my dad all the time. So I would say much of the, you know, the resistance I had was very much self-imposed in that sense. Oh wow, that's awesome. I've never gotten to share that before, but
thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. So you left home at what age was this? You said 6 years ago.
21.
At 21. Mm-hmm. So what was going through your mind when you left him at 21? Did you have any type of, you know, fear, especially as a young, you know, female traveling alone by yourself? What were some of the things going on through your mind at the time?
Well, in terms of fear, I actually definitely had less fear traveling to the countries that I did than being a female in South Africa, because we have like very high rates of rape and gender-based violence. Mm. So being a woman in South Africa can be quite uncomfortable, or being alone as a woman in South Africa can be quite uncomfortable. So going to places like America or cities in Europe, I didn't feel that uncomfortable, and I was very versed in being smart and safe. Right. So if I was alone and I was going out, I was never going to really drink that much. I would never accept drinks from strangers. I would always take an Uber. I would never walk on a street alone. I had all of these things like already ingrained in me. So I didn't ever feel that unsafe. And living in Vietnam it's a very safe country. So that was actually one of the first things that I noticed when I started traveling. I was like, wow, I never realized how unsafe I felt back home. Or rather that I just became accustomed to feeling a little bit unsafe when I was alone outside back home. But it becomes your normal because you grow up with it. So after I traveled in the beginning and I realized that like that doesn't have to be as extreme as it was, it was a big motivator for me to not necessarily move back to South Africa. Then in terms of like my other mental spaces at the time, I was 21. So I was just super excited to go and explore and meet new people and have conversations. I thought I knew everything. Mm-hmm. And you know how you are when you're 21, you're like, yes, I get it. I get everything. Let's do everything. I was in a good space. I did, when I moved to Vietnam, it was a little bit difficult, I suppose, because now you move to a place and you've got all the freedom. You're super young. And I did like party quite a lot in the beginning. I was drinking a lot and going out and staying up really late and then working really early. I had like a number of unhealthy habits, which definitely took its toll on me emotionally. But like in that like hot mess kind of way where you're just like, oh, she's having a good time. But I swear she's also crying because I'm like, this is great. I'm fine. So that was kind of a part of it in the beginning, like navigating through all this freedom that you now have when you're so young and you don't know, and you've got no one telling you like you need to do this or you should do that. So you're kind of rewriting everything for yourself for the first time. And there was definitely a lot of learning in the beginning, you know, it's like, oh, I don't have it all together. Oh, like now I have to have my own bank account. Now I'm paying tax and now I need to get a work permit. Like what is a work permit? Now I need a police clearance. And you're just like doing all these super, well, for me at the time, super adult things. that take a lot of time and they're not exhausting, but they're just bureaucratic. So they're just their own thing. And I had to like navigate all that stuff, which was empowering and stressful and a whole bunch of things at the same time.
Right. Which, I mean, are exhausting. I mean, I've had to navigate some bureaucratic processes, and you're right. If you think they're exhausting, trust me, they are.
Yeah, I know. And they only get, like, more complicated from country to country, and they're all different, right? Mm-hmm. No country has the same rules and the same time frames, and you've got to kind of acclimatize to each country.
Absolutely.
Again and again.
For sure. So you left the United States, you traveled Europe, and you eventually decided to have a base in Vietnam. Why did you pick Vietnam? Was there something that drew you to that country in particular?
How powerful is Cox Internet? So powerful that one day, your daughter will be able to simulate a soccer match against some of the world's best players right from your backyard. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Internet delivered through Cox's hybrid fiber coax network. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions apply.
As a contractor, I choose Hardie fiber cement because I've seen it outperform wood-based siding and other hard siding materials. The high-quality craftsmanship translates into beautiful and durable results that leave our customers at G-Fidel extremely satisfied. Using Hardie siding has significantly reduced my callbacks and warranty claims, too.
At James Hardie, we're here to support you, from training materials to resources that can help you generate a greater profit. Learn more about growing your business with us at jameshardie.com/build.
Well, I was always, as a kid or as a teenager, interested in Asian culture or, like, not Western life philosophies, right? So, like, Eastern philosophy or Eastern culture is more orientated to being in touch with nature, like navigating through or being aware of your impermanence in life, and, you know, like Hinduism, Buddhism, all those kinds of things. I was always drawn to those ways of thinking. But what really pushed me to specifically move to Vietnam was I had two friends who had just moved there, and I always said, okay, you guys go and you let me know if you like it. And they, when I was in the States during the summer camp for the second time, they were like, Amber, we love it. I think you're going to love it. And then I was like, okay, then that's what I'm doing. So while I was in America, I actually did, cause you need to do like a teaching English as a second language certification. So I did it in the States, and then I just went straight to Vietnam. And I was very lucky because I had everything kind of set up for me in a way. I had friends there, so immediately I had a place to stay. They helped me find a job. Right. Things were very easy early on. I had a sense of community mm-hmm. as I got there. And that is a big thing moving to a new place. Like, if you can go to a place and already have some kind of established sense of community or security,
oh, absolutely.
It makes a huge difference.
Oh, for sure. I 100% agree with that. Travel can get, you know, very lonely and very draining at mm-hmm. times, especially if you don't have all of those, you know, tiny pieces around you, people, community, mm-hmm. just like you said. And I mean, just to, you know, piggyback on that, how have you struggled with, or have you dealt with, you know, being able to, you know, be part of a community, so to speak? Because like we said, travel can be lonely. Have you ever at any point in time felt, you know, lonely, or maybe you feel a need to reintegrate yourself back into, you know, normal society, as they call mm-hmm. it, at any point in time?
So I think in the beginning, when I was doing like classic backpacker type travel, I never felt very lonely, because you're in these hostels and you're constantly meeting people who right. are in the same boat. And when I moved to Vietnam, there's a very big foreign community that's already established. But funnily enough, moving here for the last 6 months, it hasn't been the same. There is no sense of established pre-community where, like, as I've been traveling. So I've been to like a number of different cities, and because I'm not staying in one place, I don't speak Spanish very well.
Right.
Too. It's definitely isolated me a little bit more, and it's the first time in this travel journey that I've had to deal with kind of feeling a little bit isolated
right.
while traveling, and it's really difficult
to deal with it
times, right? Because at some point you're like, oh, I want to go out, and then you're like, no, it's fine, I'm just gonna stay at home and you know, talk to my friends online. That's like the same thing as being around physical humans, and it's not
right
at all. So that's definitely a part of it, right? And I think traveling gets glorified, and it's amazing, and there is a huge amount of glory to it, but there are these other sides of it that like everyone at some point does deal with.
Right.
And being lonely and feeling a little bit isolated and not integrated is a part of it. And that's actually half what I've been dealing with at this point. Less so now, because it gets a little bit better as you get more comfortable in your space and you slowly mm-hmm. come out of your shell.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not always easy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally agree with that. I mean, I had a little episode when I was in Mexico City, because prior to traveling Mexico City last year, I hadn't traveled a lot in about 4 years. So I, you know, wanted to travel to Mexico just to begin very slowly again and see how I liked it, right? So I got to Mexico City. I've been learning Spanish for about 7 weeks prior to my trip, and everything was looking good. I was so excited to, you know, to come here. But then I got on the plane, and this woman who was sat beside me asked me if I spoke Spanish. She said, you know, something. She said, I think, ¿sabe español? I'm like, oh, sí, sí, sí. Then she went on like in Spanish. And at that point, my soul was shattered, because, you know, I thought I knew Spanish. I thought, you know, I would be fine. But then I realized that it's so much different in the real world. And my 7 weeks in Mexico, I probably enjoyed the last 2 weeks, but the first 5 weeks were very difficult, because one, language was a difficult thing for me to, you know, to navigate. And because of that, I would rather stay indoors and just work rather than go outside and go, you know, mingle with people and socialize. So that's, you know, some of the things that you have to deal with, you know, coupled with, I think I spoke to you about this a few days ago, you know, with the Airbnb issues that I've been having for the last, you know, couple of days. So all of those things combined can make travel very not so interesting. So to your point, it's very glorified, but most of the time it's not as we see it online.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So go on.
No, it was just more, the language thing is always quite interesting, because you're like, I'm going to travel to this country, and then you start taking lessons, or you go on Duolingo, or you're watching YouTube videos, and you're like, yes, I've got this, no worries. And then you then try and have a conversation with someone, and as soon as like you're like, maybe for example, not speaking in the present tense, or they're asking you about a philosophical or a concept that's not like concrete,
right,
it's gone. And you realize like, oh, my relationship, or the relationships that I can have with people, can only go so far.
Absolutely.
With my language inability. And yeah, it's something to like bear in mind when you pick places to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this, you know, a lot of people listening to this will also, you know, find lessons, you know, to inform the travel decisions, whether they've been doing it for a long time or they just want to get back into it. You know, you need to, especially if you're starting afresh, if you're very fresh at this travel thing, you want to pick places where you feel comfortable, because you don't want to get two, 3 weeks into your journey and you realize that because of, you know, language, you think travel is all that bad. You know, you think it's not for you, quote unquote. And that's what happens to a lot of people. I've read a lot of blog posts and YouTube channels where people feel like, you know, say something like, you know what, Dita, no, my lifestyle is not for me. And what I see or what I hear from that is you have your expectations way higher then you get out into the world and your expectations are, you know, destroyed massively. So that's, you know, that's what I see people, you know, the mistakes I see people make. And, you know, that's some of the things I, you know, just want to touch on with these conversations I have with people, you know, just to set the right expectations pretty much.
You know? Yeah.
So you are in Vietnam. You were in Vietnam for many, many years. And now you are in Mexico. Obviously, you're not alone in Mexico. At what point did that change for you? Or was this the plan all along, you know, to find someone, to fall in love and, you know, eventually get married and travel the world together, sail into the sunset?
That was definitely never a part of the plan. Like, looking at back in hindsight, I'm like, I can see how that could be a part of my plan. But that was never necessarily a part of the plan. I had always, at some point, well, it changed a lot. When I was in Vietnam, I was like, I would love to stay here for the rest of my life. But given that Vietnam is a communist country, it's very difficult for foreigners to like root there for the rest of their lives. So that changed. And I never, especially because in any foreign community in a new country, the community is quite transient. I never expected that I would find my like lifelong partner there necessarily, because people are going in and out, everyone's changing, and especially in those kind of communities, people are not looking to settle down. It is the complete opposite. You know, everyone's I'm free, like I'm gonna do whatever I want with whoever I want, and that's fine and that's great. So I never, you know, and everyone's like, oh, you want to like meet the love of your life in Hanoi, which is where I live. It's like, it's not going to happen. But then I met, Edson, and yeah, we just, of course we were so on the same page about so many things already, because we had both like somehow gotten to this place that it just made complete sense. And, you know, one of our, for both of us, one of our biggest values is adventure in this like crazy, weird, absurd life. It's like, well, you might as well like make it an adventure, right?
As absolutely
fun as you can, why not? And all of that really drew us together. And I think when you're traveling and you're drawn to specific places, there's actually maybe a high chance that you can meet people that you really connect with, because for some bizarre reason you've managed to both be in this space. Like, how did you guys both get here? You know,
absolutely. I call it pre-qualification. Everyone is pre-qualified. Exactly. So you just go from there.
Yeah. So we were pre-qualified. We were settled in Vietnam. We love Vietnam, but COVID really changed the dynamics of everything there. Right. So at some point when restrictions were just getting more and more intense, and the laws for foreigners were constantly changing because they can, because it's a communist country. There's no like, oh, we need to vote on it, we need to pass it. It's like, no, things can change overnight. And at some point they genuinely started to change overnight. Like, what you needed to get a work permit was like, oh, now you need this certification, and now you need to do this, and actually you don't need it. If you're an American, it's fine, but if you're a South African, it's not fine. Like, things started to get very complicated, and we were both like, not sure if we should stay here anymore. And we went away for a weekend, and we had, I perceived them more than he did, so many omens that like it was time to move on for now, that we decided like, okay, it's time to go. And before we had met, I had always had the plan to move to Berlin, and he had always had the plan to move to Europe, to cycle the whole of Europe. So we had both had this plan to move to Europe, but it was not viable at the time, because immigrating to Europe is an expensive, lengthy thing that needs a lot more, like it needs planning, a lot of planning and saving and calculating.
Tell me about it.
It needs things, right? And so we'd be like, let's move to Mexico for now. Like, let's move to Mexico. Let's meet your family. Let's, because that needed to be done. Like, that was on the cards anyway. And with COVID coming about, it's now made traveling a little bit more, it's made traveling different. So now in the past, I saw it like, oh, if we want to go like meet your parents, we just go to Mexico and then we come back and then we can just jump around. But the space that we're in right now, I more see it as like, oh, well, it's one train and you make stops on this train. It's not like you're not in the air on an airplane. You can just go back and forth and crisscross, right?
Right.
Because rules are changing. COVID rules are changing all the time. So it was like, let's move to Europe, but on the way, let's stay in Mexico, because he actually needs to get a residency permit to live in Germany. You have to apply in your home country. So like, we had to go anyway. And they were like, well, let's make it its own side adventure. Sorry, now I've just gotten on a tangent. I don't even know.
No. That's the whole point.
Like, that's what like made us get to where we are right now. Like, we have this plan to go to Europe, but things are a little bit more complicated nowadays. So yeah. we've made Mexico this like whole side adventure with this idea to get to a certain place. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we won't. Or, you know, it'll take longer than we mm-hmm. think it will, for sure. It always does. But in the meantime, we're making this its own thing.
Right. So your partner is from Mexico, I suppose.
Yes, he's originally from Mexico.
Oh, interesting. So you definitely do have some restrictions when it comes to traveling, you know, with visas. I mean, as a South African, I reckon there isn't a lot of places you can go. Like, you can't just pick up and go like an American would, for example.
Yeah.
Can you share some of the challenges you face, you know, having a passport that isn't as that can't open a lot of doors for you as, you know, as someone else?
So I'm actually very lucky. My mom is German, so I have two passports.
Oh, so interesting.
I use my German passport. But for example, if I didn't have my German passport and I wanted to move to Mexico at this point, I could not.
Wow.
Because to move to Mexico on a South African passport, there are a whole bunch of things that you need to prove.
Right.
You know, you need to prove that you have X amount of money and you need this amount of bank statements and that you need a whole bunch of things. And all of those things need to come from the South African embassy. And now our embassy, the South African embassy, is it's not up to speed for like where the world is internationally.
Not very functional,
travel.
I would say.
It's not very functional. So the passport dynamics are a whole thing on their own. Like, that's like its own podcast. Like, the politics of your passport.
Absolutely. And
it's ridiculous.
I mean, and I think about it and I feel like, you know, why should I be punished because I hold a passport from a different place? Like, it's so unfair, but what can I do?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only...
it really is. And it advances certain people and disadvantages others on a global
Absolutely.
Scale.
Absolutely. I mean...
You know, it's like, this is structural oppression.
Right, you know?
On a big scale. Like, you can't deny that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get business done and the guy next to you can get it done even though he's not as qualified as you are, and you you know, so it's a whole you know, beast on its own. But I mean, I'm grateful that I can even, you know, do what I do and, you know, be travel at least to the extent that I am doing it right now. Would you have done anything differently, looking back at your journey up until this moment, whether that's, you know, in your teenage years or your early 20s and, you know, some of the decisions that you made, you know, while traveling around, would you have done anything differently to put you in a different spot?
I don't think so, because I feel like everything I did or didn't do led me to where I am now. And I am very happy with where I am and who I am at this point. It wasn't always easy, And there was a lot of navigating and learning, but I think I wouldn't really change anything, just because I feel like everything builds right. on each other.
Absolutely.
Right. I didn't end up using the degree that I studied in a professional sense. So I studied psychology, but I don't like regret studying. Like
right.
I think it was an important experience in its own to do that at the time. And I'm happy that I did that before I went traveling, because I'm unsure if I would have come back and done it, or I would have come back and done it and then my path would have been completely different.
Right.
And I'm happy with where I am right now. I think like, no, not really, because anything that was difficult was a learning experience.
Mm.
Anything that I had to go through that was unpleasant, I went through and then learned from and took some positive things from it.
Right.
What about you? Now I'm just interested, like, do you? Maybe I do have that I just haven't thought about.
I mean, would I have done anything differently? I mean, I think, you know, for people like you and I who have, I guess, chosen a path like we have, you know, we kind of are very content. We're very content people. Like, we don't always look back in regret. And I think that is the same for me. Of course, did I wish that some things would have happened differently? Yes, I wished it would have happened differently, but
yeah.
if I look back and,
yeah.
you know, look at where I am right now and where I may end up, I just feel like, you know, like you said, things build upon each other and they put you in that spot that you are right now. I don't believe in coincidences to start with. I think, you know, everything mm-hmm. happens for a specific reason. And if there wasn't a bigger agenda or a bigger, you know, thing, maybe a God or universe, whatever you want to call it, you know, at the helm of things, you know, what is happening right now would not even be happening at all. So looking back, I wouldn't change a thing as well. But did I wish that some things were different? Yeah, maybe. I wish I had a different passport, but still, but I don't, and that's okay. You know, it's taught me resilience, you know, to, you know, be stronger, to, you know, go for things that I want, even though it's not going to be, you know, placed on my lap. It's not going to come easy for me, but I've still gone for it anyways. That's the simple, I mean, not so simple answer to that.
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So quick question for you. So if you would, you know, just sit down with anyone right now who's listening to this, maybe they're just thinking about, you know, travel. They've been reading blogs and watching YouTubes and just thinking about travel, maybe, you know, toying with the idea. What would you say to them? Or maybe not necessarily travel, maybe just going on a non-conventional path, you know, that they truly want to go on, that is different from what everyone is, you know, pushing them towards. What would you say to that person?
I think I would say to them, like, do it and go for it, and know that most likely in the beginning it's not always going to be very easy. There are definitely things that you're going to have to navigate, whether they come from yourself or other people, but that's part of it.
Right.
I think following your intuition in life is very, very important. And the moment that you let external forces reason you out of what you feel like you want and need to do in your life, like, you lose touch with yourself. So don't lose touch with yourself. If you want to do it, if you're thinking about it, go and do it. You're never going to regret it, whether it's a positive experience, whether it's a negative experience, which, I mean, no, I can't speak for everyone. I'm going to say, like, it's never going to be a negative experience, but I don't know. You can always learn something from it, and that in itself is a good thing.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. And one thing I always, you know, reference when I think about that specific question is, you know, this statement made by Jeff Bezos in one of his interviews when he was about to start Amazon. And he had a very cushy job, making good money, you know, building a life for himself. And, you know, we had this idea of selling books online, you know, on this internet that is so unproven that nobody even knows about. And he has this idea of selling books on that internet. I mean, it's bad enough if you want to sell books in your garage, but sell it on a platform that nobody uses, like, who does that? But then he asked his boss, and, you know, his boss was so confused about that idea. Then he said to himself, he said he asked himself, if he looked back in 20 years, 30 years, so at the end of his life, if he looks back, the question he's going to ask himself is, am I going to regret not doing this in the future or when I look back on my life?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, go do it.
100%. Like, if you ever think you're going to wonder, like, what if at some point in your life, go and do it, go see it. And if you decide it's not for you, then you've done it.
Absolutely.
And then you can go back and, like, reintegrate with your newfound sense of self,
right?
Whatever that is. Maybe it's telling you you do want to stay where you were originally, and that's fine. Now you know, and you're never going to regret that. So either way, like, you come back or you stay where you are in this travel space, knowing that this is what you intuitively want for yourself.
Right. Amber, thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
Yeah, thank you. This is really fun.
Absolutely. And are you active on any social media? If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that if you're open to it?
Yeah, I have an Instagram. It's called AppleTreeAmber. So if people want to reach out, they can reach out on my Instagram. At some point in my life, on the goal list is to have my own podcast. Not related to travel, but more related to, like, discussing philosophical topics, which I'd love to have you on at some point when I actually do it. But for now,
I'll be glad to.
Instagram, AppleTreeAmber. Yeah, I'd love to have you on.
One word, AppleTreeAmber. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I relate everything I do or don't do to, I mean, everything I say always comes out philosophical in a way. I don't get it, but it's okay. So AppleTreeAmber, one word on Instagram. Go follow her, send her a message if you have any questions about travel. Again, thank you so much, Amber, for joining. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate you too.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Maddie Elwell from the Washington Spirit, D.C.'s professional women's soccer team, and we need you to join us at Audi Field this Sunday, August 27th, as we face off against Sophia Smith and the Portland Thorns.
We are underway tonight at Audi Field in Washington, D.C.
All the stars are out tonight in Washington.
We need all of you to get rowdy at Audi at 5 p.m., loud, proud, and cheering for us all. Visit WashingtonSpirit.com for more info, and let's make it a game day to remember.
Match believes that adults date better because when you date as an adult, you get to be a little irresponsible with really responsible people. Rip the clothes off someone who actually knows how to put them away. Fall stupidly in love with someone who's actually really smart. Forget being hot. Get them to ugly laugh. Ready to crush on someone who makes you feel whole? If you know who you are and what you want in a relationship, Match is the place for you. Adults Wanted. Download the Match app today.